so amazing. It's John chapter 1, verse 14. So I ask if you'll stand in our God's great honor as I read aloud that verse. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father, You are so awesome that the Word came to us, Lord, full of grace and truth, that the Word dwelled among us. And we just worship You this morning for that awesome truth. God, may Your Word be ministered to us by Your Holy Spirit. God, we proclaim that unless Your Spirit speaks, we are unable to hear. So Holy Spirit, we invite You to speak to us. Thank You for already speaking to us through this service, and may You continue to speak. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is a verse in the book of John. You go over a couple of chapters. John chapter 7, verse 24, and it says, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. And what so frequently happens is you see somebody and you make an immediate judgment about them. You just look at them. And I remember when I started college, there was this guy I met, and I watched him, and I immediately thought, what a knucklehead. I wouldn't want to be anywhere around that guy. Well, he ended up being one of my closest friends at school. What happened? Well, we had an opportunity where we were able to sit down and talk. And I learned about who he was. Yeah, the amazing thing about Christmas is that you have people and they have all kinds of ideas about God, who they think God is, what He is like. And so there's a lot of spirituality, but they haven't heard directly the Word of God. They haven't heard what has been spoken, what has been written, and what has been revealed in the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and that makes all the difference. There are a lot of arguments out there, and you guys know, I love apologetics and all that. We preachers, you know, we love those ideas of arguments for God. And, you know, for example, one we often use is creation, you know. And all you got to do is step outside and look around you and say, you know, this was an accident. This just got here, you know, without anybody's help. And so it's obvious there was a creator along the way that made all this happen. And Psalm 19, the first few verses, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. It says that the skies proclaim the work of His hands, that day unto day uttereth His speech, and night unto night pours forth His knowledge, that there's no place where there speech or language is not heard. I mean, everywhere that you look around creation, there's a message of God that's spoken to us. And then, you know, another argument is the argument of what are the chances, what are the odds of just 8 of the prophecies in the Old Testament being fulfilled in one person. We know there's a lot more prophecies than 8, but just 8 prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's great. In one of the books that I read, the author had calculated these odds. He said they were 10 to the 21st power. Now, that doesn't really mean anything to me. I'm not a mathematician. But he gives an example of this. He says, if you were to blanket the entire earth with silver dollars 120 feet high, and then take one of those silver dollars, randomly bury it, and then ask a person to travel the earth and to select that marked dollar while blindfolded. Now that just confuses me thinking about all. In other words, it's just not going to happen. It's not likely. It's a miracle. But the good news is that although there are arguments like these where you just go, wow, there's still no ironclad argument that's watertight. People say, I don't believe that. But see, God didn't come to us with a watertight argument. God came to us with a watertight person. He came to us with a person, not an argument. Matter of fact, it tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. We are able to know God because God became flesh. The Word, the living Word. When we see the truth of God, it is in Christ. If you want to see the truth of God, look at Christ. Look how He's revealed to us in the written Word, and we see the Word. We see Him alive. We see how He responded with people that were around Him. We see the authority and the power in which He spoke, and the compassion and the love with which He treated people. Matter of fact, in the Greek, the word is logos for word that's used here. And, of course, we derive our word logic from it. So in a real sense, you could say, Jesus is the logic of God. He is the ultimate argument for the existence of God and who God is. You want to see God clearly? Take a good look at Jesus. And you will get a clear picture of who He is. And the incarnation, the fact that God has appeared to us. What a truth. It is the Word made soft. It is the divine made human. It is so radical because God made Himself vulnerable. You know, when there is a crime that takes place, it's been clearly documented that typically the people who are able to see it from a distance and watch it, they don't intervene. And so many times there are many people that will watch a terrible crime. Someone who faces a lot of pain, is in great danger, and the person doesn't step in and help. They don't step in and help because it's risky. You know, there's this idea of, I want to protect me. I might get hurt. And so it's very unusual for somebody to step forward and put themselves in a dangerous situation to help somebody else. But you see what God did, it's even beyond that. Yeah, it was real risky to come here to fulfill the mission He fulfilled. But it was more than risk. You see, He didn't come with a risk that if He stepped down here into that place of danger that He would suffer. He came here knowing He would go to the cross and He would die. The Word became flesh and He dwelt among us so that we might clearly see the glory of God. His life here as He dwelt among us clearly shows God, who He is. You know, in Isaiah 9:6 that we also hear often this time of year, it tells us, you know, that to us a son is born, to us a child is given, and He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, what makes a good counselor? A good counselor is able to relate because they understand. There is a connection because they were part of the suffering earlier. So now they're able to relate to that person as they go through their suffering. Listen, these are a couple of other verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. The last two verses. For this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way. He became human, fully human, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus is able to help us because he knows what it's like to be like us. He knows the struggles that we have. He knows the feelings of despair or the emotional turmoil or just the tough stuff of everyday life that happens. He was made like us in every way. He knows what it means to be human. Although he is God, he has made this vital connection by becoming fully one of us, like us. And there is a connection that happens when we realize that the person is not simply watching us from a distance. Well, I'll be there to help you, you know, maybe someday. And then when the person steps into where we are and connects to us and displays love to us by getting involved. guys, I've told you my story of ministry. When I began to sense God calling me to vocational ministry, I was in high school, and the pastor of my church, great guy, wonderful preacher, God has used him in many ways, but he's just not like me. You know, not there's anything wrong with that, but when I looked at him, I never thought I'd be a preacher, because, you know, we were just so different, you know. He had these boots, I call them, they look like Star Trek boots. He always seemed to wear in the pulpit, and his hair, back then they'd use this styling stuff, and man, his hair, I often thought if I could break it, you know, if you could, this way and all of that. And, you know, I say all this, and, you know, I'd look at him, and I'd think, you know. And I'll never forget when I went forward, feeling like God's called me some kind of vocational ministry, and I came forward, and after I came forward, he told the church, he said, Todd has come forward today to relay with all you guys that he has been called to preach. And I'm like, what? Who have you been talking to? You know, because that was the furthest thing from my mind. So, you know, I'm telling you, I had all these biases and I had all these, you know, looking at this guy. But when my dad died and we headed back to my hometown, and Cindy and I went and we got some music, and we went to the piano and we were singing the Scott Wesley Brown song at the piano. And anyway, my pastor growing up, he walks into the sanctuary over near the piano where we are. He doesn't stop, and he just comes up and he just grabs me and he begins to weep with me. Now let me tell you, my view of him changed dramatically. Why? Because it wasn't fair. I'm not saying it was fair, but in my mind I had begun to think, you know, he's a preacher, but he's looking at me from a distance as he speaks. He you know, he doesn't really know me or where I am or doesn't understand. But when he came in compassion and man, he was there with me in my grief, made all the difference. Let me tell you, that is exactly what our God has done. He has come to us in his compassion, and man, he has entered into a relationship with us. He loves us with that kind of love that he wants to step in and show his compassion toward us. Here's another verse in Hebrews. This is chapter 4, verse 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. It wasn't, yeah, he's sinless, but it wasn't just that he was sinless. It was he went through the stuff that we go through and was victorious. This is the God we have. He stepped in to the human condition. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be the weakness of humanity and the struggle that occurs. just because he is God and he's without sin does not mean he was not also fully like us. What an awesome thought for us to consider. The Word dwelt among us so we can see his glory. You know, the word dwell here, it literally means, in some translations says this, it means tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. And the picture of this that was relayed by Jesus to the disciples is, you know, go back to thinking about Moses. And remember Moses when he went to the mountain of God and he was communing with God and he said, God, I want to know you. And God said, you can't know me because of my glory. You could not look at me and survive. And so God came up with a plan. He had the people build a special tabernacle in order to protect Moses and in order to protect the people so there could be a type of communion with God. There was a barrier for safety reasons of the glory of God. But the Scriptures tell us that in Jesus Christ, in the work of Jesus Christ, that barrier has been removed so that we're able to look upon the glory of God through Jesus and through Christ. He tabernacled among us for that awesome reason. See, another way to put this, Jesus has killed religion. You see, we have this idea that if we follow the right rules, if we go to church X number of times, or if we give a certain amount of money, or if we're faithful in good deeds, that somehow that will earn us favor before God. But Jesus changed all that. You see, in the Old Covenant, they would come to the temple. But in the New Covenant, you are the temple. Why are you the temple? Because God dwells in you. Jesus has set up His home in you. In the Old Covenant, there was a priest, the go-between God and man. And, you know, only once a year could he go into the Holy of Holies, to this place to seek mercy for all of the people. And there was a priest that the people went to in hopes of being cleansed. But for us, we have one high priest, not many priests. One high priest. He is the one who is the go-between between God and us. And He has opened the door. He has made a way. He has made it possible for us to be right with God, to have a relationship with the living God. You see, religion says, do this and you will be accepted. Jesus says, you are accepted, so do this. And there's a big difference in that. If you are in Christ, you have been fully received, fully accepted. You see, sometimes we get mad at each other. I know I'm not the only person that people get mad at. I have a feeling it's happened to you too. So what happens? You know, we get mad at each other and there's a gap that occurs. Some space. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm trying not to look at you. I don't want to listen to you. You know, that gap. And so what happens? Well, for the relationship to be restored, somehow that gap has to be filled with an apology, with a willingness to say I was wrong, with a willingness to change our behavior so that the relationship can be restored. But let me tell you, that happens with us. But see, the gap between us and God is so much bigger than any gap that is between each other. It's so much bigger that it's going to take more than just saying, I'm sorry. We are not able to fill that gap by personally coming with this to-do list and saying, okay, God, here's my to-do list. I want to fix our relationship. The gap is just, it's just too big for that to occur. And so therefore, God says there has to be atonement. And that's what the whole deal was with the sacrificial system, as they're had to be this sacrifice, this animal that was flawless, without blemish or defect. And it took the blood of that animal. And everything had to be done in a particular manner in order for the sacrifice to be approved by God. But the beauty is, the old covenant was one of sacrifices. The new covenant is the sacrifice. There is the sacrifice that has taken the place of the many sacrifices that occur year after year, because this one sacrifice is the perfect Lamb of God in Jesus Christ, God Himself, who came here. You see, it's interesting. You look in the Old Testament, you look at Moses, where do you have the glory of God? You have the glory of God in this mountain on fire. As they looked at God, a mountain on fire, and man, it's easy to be afraid. You look at this mountain on fire, and in other words, the picture is God is unapproachable. God is holy. There is no way to come near to God. That's scary stuff, a mountain on fire. You know, this earthquake that just happened, the horrible thing, and all these people who lost their lives here recently. But what's the story of the glory of God in Jesus Christ? The glory of God came not on a fiery mountain, but in a baby. Man, what is more approachable than a baby? Babies are awesome. And they're miracles, and they don't stay that way very long. What an amazing thought that the God of the burning mountain became a baby. That the God of the burning mountain became vulnerable. That He took on flesh, and that flesh could be harmed. All this for our sakes. And you see, so here's the question of Jesus. There's no halfway with Jesus. Somebody who has loved us like this, there's only two real choices. We either run to Him or we run away from Him. There's no in between. We either run to Him or away from Him. So in other words, we're always running. My question is, which direction are you running? Are you running to Him or away from Him? And secondly, He is the wonderful Counselor. We all have our problems and we all have our arguments, but understand, He is the argument. It is not based on what we can come out with our thinking. It is based on Jesus. He is the logic of God. He is the one that we can commit our lives to and find what life is really about. It's in Him. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall always live." Always live forever. And He said, "Whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die." That's the belief. That's the trust. And the awesome thing about Christmas, it is a sign of the God who is unapproachable became approachable, and we can approach Him today. If you have not run toward Him, He said, "I'm not going to turn away from you." That's what the cross was all about, is I came for you. And so, if you have never trusted your life to the approachable God who came in the form of a baby and later went to a cross, what a great day for that to occur. That's what Christmas is about. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are approachable in Christ, that You are the true logic of God, Jesus. Father, what do You want to do among us today with an altar that's open? Maybe some of us need to come and to bow before the approachable God, to give our hearts afresh to Him. Maybe others of us here have never made that decision to run to God in Jesus. What a great day for that to occur. To say, "Jesus, I am a sinner, but You are a bigger Savior. I know you'll forgive my sin, so I'm running to you. And Lord, I know that running to Jesus means forgiveness. So, what a great day, Father. If anyone here needs to run to Jesus, run now to Him. Find His forgiveness. Father, we just come to You because there's nowhere else to go. You are the God who was unapproachable but is approachable. Move among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.